You know, everybody thinks health has to be so complicated. Well, we've got a different idea for you. How about making it simple? That's the whole premise of this show, Health Simplified, a simple guide to a healthier life. With a guy who's been walking the walk and talking the talk for a while here, Dr. Fessler.
Welcome. How you doing, Paul?
Okay.
Good.
Do you live a simple, healthy life, or are you just telling us how to do it?
It's not simple, but pretty healthy. I exercise probably 5 days a week.
Oh, wow.
And I try to drink water all day. I do the simple stuff about health pretty well. Stay on it. And lately, at least the last this year, I've been pretty good about my sleep, too, which has been, in the past, has been my struggling point.
Everybody's downfall, especially busy entrepreneurs. I can do with less sleep.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, and it's so untruthful.
Because we think it's like, found time. I'll find another hour.
Sleep is the most important thing. It really is.
Well, we've done a show on that today. You're going to talk about something.
We're not. And hopefully it's not a sleeper. We'll see. It's about heat, ice baths, and saunas. Yeah. So everything about temperature and how temperature can affect our body.
It's a deep dive into these topics for health and recovery. Or heat and ice. I hear a lot about heat and ice. What's good? When do I put heat on? When do I put ice on? We're going to talk about
that. Yeah, so let's start with ice.
All right.
Because ice has been the thing that everybody thinks of. You know, you roll your ankle, everybody goes, rice, right? Everybody remembers that term.
Right.
Rest, ice, compression, elevation, right? And that was developed by Gabe Merkin. He's a doctor back in 1978. And since that time period, people have just gone to do rice. You know, it's the best thing to do for healing. Mm-hmm. And then he himself came out in 2015 and said, I think I might have been wrong. Because more research came out about it. And not everything about what he said was wrong. But as far as the ice part of it, it was that people don't necessarily improve more with ice. Mm. In 2024... the British Medical Journal came out with a study, and it showed that people don't necessarily heal better or have better outcomes by icing. It doesn't really help the healing process.
Because the idea was that it would shrink. When we get cold, they shrink. So it's going to take the inflammation down.
Yeah, which everybody, you know, it sounds good because, you know, you think like, you know, inflammation's bad. We want to take that away. But, you know, as we've heard in, I think, a previous episode we even talked about, we need inflammation, and you know, so we don't want to do those NSAIDs too early. The same thing with ice. Better to elevate it, compress it, you know, stabilize the injured area so that you're doing all that you can to make sure you're not injuring it more in the subsequent, you know, the short-term time frame. But icing is not necessarily something that helps us. So
okay, because that's the first thing I watched the I'm not going to give a shout out to Shaq and his commercial over this icy hot or something, but there you go.
And that's different. And that's an ointment. You know, that's not truly, you know, a temperature thing. So that's different. But you know, the only time when ice is kind of appropriate is if you just have pain from that acute injury and you're just like, okay, I just need to get out of some pain and it helps me with that. Then just do like 10 or 15 minutes and that's okay. But in general, it's not going to help with your healing. So I don't really ice or use ice in general.
That's amazing, because I thought that's the first thing we do. We all have those ice packs in our refrigerator, and something happens, your kid or whatever, you immediately throw ice on it.
Yeah. So for pain, though, I'm going to say, you know, it probably does help. And this isn't applied to maybe dental conditions. I don't know if, you know, a dentist might say they recommend it for that kind of thing. But as far as for an orthopedic condition that's acute, we're not going to be icing. And, and generally, and actually for arthritis and all that kind of stuff, heat we're going to find is much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Helps
to open up the blood vessels and helps to, you know, improve and some of the pain response too is improved, but it really helps to just facilitate all the circulatory mechanisms going on with healing.
So instead of ice rice, you have another acronym I remember.
There is one. Are you a man of the 60s?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's peace and love.
Peace and love.
Peace and love. So protect the area, elevate when possible. Avoid early anti-inflammatory interventions, compression, and educate about healing. Mm. So then, and the love part of it is load gradually, which means you're kind of gradually going to start, you know, doing activities as you're able to. Optimal movement, so you want to move correctly, right? Vascular health and exercise is tolerated. So basically, just do things gently, return to activity.
See, I always believed in peace and love. Now I have
there we go.
Reason.
Yeah, that's it. All right, we're done.
That's it. Peace and love. Peace out. So when is it appropriate to use heat? You're saying if I want to do what? Because heat opens up the blood vessels as opposed to constricting everything or
So
reducing swelling. Right.
Correct. So heat is good. Like if you have any kind of arthritic condition, heat is the one that's going to help you the most. helps to open up blood vessels. It actually helps to gate a little bit as well as far as that pain response. So you're going to bring down the pain a little bit. In the morning, if you're real stiff with arthritic conditions, heat is what you want. Mm. Usually in the morning, you'd be like a moist heat to get things moving. And then in the evening, if you have more like pain, then kind of a dry heat can be okay for that too.
Even my eye doctor, because I wake up sometimes with a little mm-hmm. crustiness in my
oh,
eye
yeah, yeah,
and a
yeah.
little, it's a little out of focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He says, put one of those heat masks on,
yeah.
put it in that microwave for
yeah.
like 30 seconds, and that
yeah.
opens up the blood vessels in my eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. My ophthalmologist as well told me to heat, you know, some water, mm-hmm. dump a rag in there, get it warm, and then put that over your eyes for dry eye too. So it helps with the circulation
yes,
and everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
He sold
me a fancy little mask.
You could have done it for a $2 rag.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have done the same thing.
Exactly.
But well, good for him. So specific benefits for, let's see, like 45 to 75 year olds, kind of the demographic of patients that I might see.
Ring the bell. That's me.
Yeah. So arthritis relief for spine issues. You know, if you have like muscle aches and pains and stuff, heat can be helpful for that.
Really? Like chronic low back pain?
Yeah,
or
definitely. Use, put some, you know, lie in some heat for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. It helps to get the circulation going, helps to bring your pain down. Circulation helps to improve circulation as you put heat on an area, so that's good. And then, like I said, pain management. So just
and what is it? How does it make pain go away? How does heat make pain go?
Yeah,
I get that it makes my blood vessels grow bigger. So if I have a headache, like aspirin, it makes the blood
right.
I'm not getting a blockage and a headache because
yeah.
the blood vessels are constricted. But
yeah, you actually with heat, and this might make sense for people, you get like an endorphin release.
Really?
So I don't know if you thought about it, even if you sit like in a jacuzzi, it just feels like, it just feels like so good. And or in a sauna too. A sauna is a little more maybe uncomfortable good, but mm-hmm. a jacuzzi, you just feel like, man, you just feel like relaxed.
Well, full disclosure, many years ago, I did marketing for Sundance Jacuzzi, the mm-hmm. two brands.
Okay.
And they were always advocating, you know, I thought it was just for fun and whatever, you know, and you jump in, it's like a little mini pool or something, and it's relaxing. But they were always touting the health benefits, and one was pain relief
mm-hmm.
and opening up your blood vessels.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. It's true.
Yeah. Okay.
If I say it, it's true, right?
I just said, okay. I didn't even push back. So there is a benefit to heat. Now, the question I have before you jump any further is, I've got an injury, or I've got a pain, or I've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What's my first go-to? Does it depend on the pain, the problem, what I'm trying to do? Or is it always grab ice first and then heat later?
As far as the ice thing, I think if someone has a history with ice and for pain, they like how ice makes them feel, use ice. That's fine.
Okay.
But if you're looking to actually heal the condition and get some pain relief, then heat, by and large, is the best thing you can do.
And for how long?
Yeah, maybe 15 minutes
okay.
is good. Yeah, you can do it too. I mean, you can put heat on so long that you actually have changes in your skin health.
Ooh.
Like there's this modeling that happens in the skin, which if I'm not mistaken, I think can lead to even some kinds of cancers or something in the area. So this is something that like I would talk to a doctor about. That's not my specialty.
So if you ever had like what, decreased sensation or
well,
something?
You'll see this weird modeling of the skin, modeling meaning like different coloration. It looks like almost like a tortoise shell kind of look
yeah.
to the skin that's got like different colors and patches and stuff. And it's just a bad sign. It's like that means you're doing it too much. You're heating
okay.
too much. Yeah.
Okay. Or if it becomes really red or something, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You just want to make sure it's not, you know, the temperature range is usually 104 to 113, I guess, is a good range that you should stay in. And I don't know how many
hot
people
tubs
actually.
By law can't go over 104. They're supposed to have a restrictor.
Yes. Yeah.
On.
Right. Correct. Yeah. So for a localized area, you could probably go a little higher than that. Like if you're just wrapping, you know, mm-hmm. a joint or something. But I think that's a good limit there too.
And go yeah. further into different kinds of heat. There is traditional heat, you know, where I'm just putting a hot cloth or I'm in hot water or something that's transferring the temperature to my body. But lots of people, I think including you, have talked about infrared heat,
mm-hmm.
where you're going beyond the surface of the
yep.
skin.
Yeah. So if we go into this now, so now we're going away from maybe a localized heating, like you put a heat pack on your back.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a hot water bottle or maybe you're using a plug-in device where it's just
right.
a heating pad or heating blanket kind
right.
of thing. And now we can go into looking at saunas.
Okay.
So a sauna is just
about not just the where it's a hot, steamy water.
So there is, yeah. So there's two kinds, basically. there's the hot steamy water, hot rocks kind of thing, yeah, in this small enclosed area. It keeps the moisture in there, and you know, you go in there usually for, you know, 10 to 20 minutes or so, and get your heat up
like the Vikings do, or the Swedes or the Finns,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, right. It's big time. And you know, they live in a cold environment, so that, you know, feels really good to get that heat going. You know, before I even talk about that, it is crucial if anybody's thinking about doing saunas, or you know, getting into, maybe they're going to buy a sauna of any kind, just get a medical checkup. Make sure you don't have a heart condition. High blood pressure could be a contraindication. Certain types of maybe congestive heart failure, things like that, where you're going to stress your body too much with the heat. You just want to make sure that you get a clearance from your doctor before you try doing any of these things.
Right.
Yeah. So
we're talking about the traditional Finnish saunas. I put water on a hot rock or something here.
Yep.
And it's all hot and steamy. The Turkish baths, the Finnish saunas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a study that the Finnish did on 2,300 men and found that they did 2 to 3 times a week. If they did it 2 to 3 times a week, they had a 27% reduction in cardiovascular mortality.
Wow.
So this is over a 20-year period. Wow. So this is a long study with quite a few people. So okay. If you did it 4 to 7 times a week, you're getting 50% reduction in cardiovascular mortality.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Go into a traditional sauna, steam sauna.
Yep.
2 to 3 times
consistently,
a week. Consistently. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see a significant, up to 50% reduction in cardiovascular death.
Yeah. And think about brain protection, too. So we'll see a 66% reduction in dementia Alzheimer's type things. It helps to improve your blood flow and some immune markers that help with your immunity as well. So that helps with your health. Blood pressure, they said it's 10 millimeter of mercury reduction in systolic blood pressure.
Which means what?
So if you have that...
I'm 116 over...
Yeah, so if you're at 160 over, you know, 80 or something, it brought it down to like 150 over 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So pretty cool.
And that's for just traditional. Now let's... Any difference with infrared saunas? They always say it penetrates and goes deeper into the skin. Because some of these saunas are dry saunas, and they're using infrared lights.
Right, correct. And those are typically not as hot, too.
Right.
So the infrared saunas, if we look at those, are basically it's that light. And so they're not going to get to the same temperatures. Your traditional saunas are going to get up to, I think, 160 degrees or so. 170.
It's pretty hot in there, yeah.
Yeah. And the infrared are more like 120 to 140.
Okay.
So not quite as hot. And for that reason, you can do it a little bit longer, so you can tolerate doing those a little bit longer. I don't know that they've done as big of studies on the infrared versus the traditional sauna, but to my knowledge, from what I've heard from other people in the industry, they get the same health benefits from doing those.
Now, do you use infrared?
So
somebody comes in with an injury, and you're trying to relax a muscle, or
we have not, we have not done that. No, yeah.
Because I see some.
I would consider it doing it. Yeah. There's a lot of good evidence for it, and then there's like red light therapy too.
That's what I'm thinking.
Red light we do use sometimes. Yeah, but the infrared, like the saunas, we have not done.
And what is red light? It's just a certain spectrum of the infrared.
Right. Exactly. And supposedly it helps to not only improve circulation, but it can also improve or increase like nitrous oxide and some things that help with opening blood vessels and helping to heal.
I've had people come in, I don't know if it's true or not, and they claim that they use it for weight loss too, to break up fat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there are some devices, like there's something called the Beamer. There's some things you can lie on, PEMF therapy, and a lot of those have the red light with it. And supposedly they help to break up that brown fat. Mm. It's good for arthritis and other stuff like that, too. So those are other things that we can maybe do a different show on some of those devices.
Yeah, we could. If there's any interest, we could do.
And people can get those at home, just like you can get an infrared sauna. You can get those at home, too, for a couple grand.
Yeah. I've seen the masks and stuff, the infrared red light masks and everything people buy.
Yeah.
And all sorts of different things.
Yeah, it's interesting.
All right, so we're talking about infrared. So you're saying kind of the same benefits, but they haven't been the kind of studies that the...
I don't think... Yeah, so I haven't looked as far into that, so I'm not exactly sure, but I know, you know, just from people in the industry that are, you know, that have some of these clinics that have a bunch of saunas, that people go from an ice bath to a sauna to, you know, doing all these biohacking type things that they say the infrared are just
as good. You should do a show on biohacking, this whole term. I'm going to hack my body like it's a like it's a system, like it's a computer that I can hack into.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to rewrite the code somehow.
Right. It's, you know,
so
it's
many
interesting.
People
a lot of, I mean, it's kind of, it's not silly, but if you get really into the weeds with it, what you're looking at is just getting back to what's healthy. I mean, your biohacking is also get 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, get enough fiber, drink enough water, exercise every day.
Think, I've seen our current health secretary has been on various podcasts talking about how he hacks things, whether it's a certain compound he takes or a certain thing he does.
And yes. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of
things. And some of it's just like kind of like new information about how to be healthy, right? Yeah.
All right. Then you brought up the one that we're going to end with that I think sounds the silliest of all. But this is just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Ice bath, ice plunge, cold plunge.
Yeah. So this is kind of made famous by Wim Hof, who's this guy that does these ice plunges in the Arctic. And he's like been underwater for like 8 minutes. I don't know, ridiculous.
And they sell certain types of metal, look like a feed trough or a horse troughs or something.
Yes, yeah.
And you jump in this metal bathtub and fill it up with literally water and ice.
And you can, if you want to, you can just, you know, put a 20-pound bag of ice in your bathtub and do the same thing, right? I mean, and it doesn't have to be that cold. I mean, it can be, you know, 40 degrees is pretty cold. That's a cold ice bath.
Oh.
But, you know, even if you get it to 50 degrees, it still has health benefits.
So what would be the benefit to shock your system? And now, as a kiss, full disclosure, I grew up in the Midwest. You get a little, drink a little too much, you run out and jump in the lake or jump in the river. Or once a year, we all go to be a polar bear, and they bring you down to the Detroit River, and everybody, 100 people, think this is funny and jump in the river, break the ice and jump in the river here.
Right.
It just seems like it would be you have a heart attack, or you have a shock to your system or something, but everybody claims it is healthy.
Yeah. So a lot of this also is that endorphin release.
Oh, that could
you
be.
You know, there's some of that is, you know, as far, and that does help your, you know, mental health and makes you feel better and all that kind of stuff too. So mood can be affected by that, by norepinephrine. You know, these are chemicals in your body that are released that help to change your mood and can improve your immune system
too. Maybe not your health, but your mental health.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can have improved stress response. So, which would be, you know, the stress response is like that cortisol or the stress response that goes along with like the fight or flight system. So it helps you to reduce that over time as well. So as you respond to stress, you're going to respond a little bit better than you would if you're not doing the ice baths.
All right. So we've covered the traditional just ice packs, ice treatments to bring down swelling. Yeah, maybe you're not recommending that for much other than if it feels good.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily help with healing. Then you talked about heat, and in two variations, either just traditional saunas where it's steamy hot, or dry where it's an infrared system and maybe even penetrating deeper into your skin and different wavelengths like the red light spectrum and other spectrums here, I guess. And then jumping in an ice cold bath.
Yeah, so the ice, I mean, and you can get some, you know, metabolic effects such as brown fat mobilization, which is kind of old fat that you've had for years, and it can help to kind of break that up a little bit and helps you to kind of improve your insulin sensitivity as well, which is a good thing.
All right. Any other notes, thoughts, actions you want to add to this? You got a whole list of them here.
No, I think the main thing is that, you know, as far as acute, if we're just looking at heat and ice, typically heat is going to be something that's going to help your recovery from either an injury or chronic pain type issue.
Okay.
So I'd go there. You definitely want to consult your doctor whenever you're going to do any of these things, especially the ice bath or the saunas. You want to make sure that you don't have like some kind of cardiovascular issue or something else that's going to respond adversely. And then, you know, you can do your own research and see, you know, if there's some great saunas out there that are not too pricey that you could have in your own home. And those infrared saunas are pretty safe and more comfortable. So,
and would you say, as the old hippies used to say, start small and go slow?
Yes,
you know,
for sure.
Don't just jump into the coldest. Or
definitely. I mean, even if you're going to consider starting to do ice baths, for example, you know, start with like a cool or cold shower, and just kind of get used to your body getting used to that coldness, and then kind of progress it that way.
And clearly, this is not medical advice. Go check your doctor. Oh, yeah. All that kind of stuff. And you were saying...
This is informational only.
Red flags would be what? Chest pain, pressure, dizziness, rapid heartbeat, difficulty breathing, nausea, vomiting, skin changes, any of that stuff. Get out. Stop.
Yes, for sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and if people have questions about that kind of stuff, there's plenty of information on the internet, and if they want to find me, I'm at Physical Therapy and Balance Centers in Lake Forest.
And spell it?
FYZICAL.
And you do experiment, you don't have cold plunges and other things, but would you ever experiment with red light therapies and other things like that?
So in our clinic, we do have some red light. We have, the shockwave and all those kind of things too, but... I think red light's very safe and proven method to improve circulation and reduce pain. So
maybe we'll knock out a wall and put a sauna in.
There we go.
Put some cold plunges in. Turn it into a whole health spa.
Have you over for a party.
Yeah. I'm there. I try it. All right. Well, I'm fascinated by all this. I hear about it all the time. It's something in the news. It's kind of trending.
Yeah.
Red light, infrared, cold plunges, hot tubs, saunas, and all those things. And I always wonder, is there really any benefit, or is it just all... in our head? Maybe it is. Maybe it makes you happier, but it sounds like there are some potential
benefits. Are some benefits. Yeah, I think there really are. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us. That was a quick dive into some interesting topics here as we continue to see if we can't make health a simple discussion here. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, as we continue to stream live from our studios here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.